All right, this morning we're in the seventh chapter of the book of Matthew, and we're going to continue with our studies here. And I want to remind you that our Lord's public ministry was primarily to Jews under the law. And so the things that he's teaching them, the law was a schoolmaster to bring the Jews unto Christ so that they might be justified by faith, okay? But when our Lord came, the Jews, you know, were very, very settled in their captivity to the Romans. They'd been in captivity to Babylon. They'd been in captivity to Persia. All of a sudden I can't think of the name. But anyway, as we come right down the line, they were in captivity to various governments over the history of their existence. And so when our Lord came, they had, of course, been come out of Babylonian captivity, had been returned to the land. They had rebuilt the temple, and Zerubbabel's temple wasn't anything like Solomon's temple. And when the Jews that had seen Solomon's temple saw the rebuilt temple, they wept because it didn't have the glory. Then, during the reign of one of the Caesars, he allowed the Jews, and the Romans actually did the building, but they rebuilt or modified the temple in Jerusalem that was Zerubbabel had built, and they built it into a marvelous Ephesus. You know, it was white marble. It was gorgeous. The afternoon sun would shine on it. It would be like gold, you know, and a city set on a hill. And the Jews were very, very, they'd kind of settled into Roman dominion. And, of course, they balked at some of the things that the Romans could do. For example, if a Roman soldier compelled you to carry his pack for a mile, then you had to carry his pack for a mile, you know. And what did Jesus say? Well, if he compels you, carry it 2 miles, you know. And if he smites you on the cheek because you balked, turn to him the other cheek. And what Jesus was showing the Jews was what the law demanded of them, they couldn't supply. The law was never designed to show us how to get to heaven. It was designed to condemn the Jews so that what was given with the law, and most people don't realize that if you read from the 20th chapter of Exodus to the end of the book and look at the amount of detail, there's 5 times as much information about the other thing that Moses got on the mount besides the law. And the other thing that he got was the pattern for the tabernacle and the sacrificial system. Now, the sacrificial system, the tabernacle in the wilderness, God said, make me a tabernacle that I may dwell with you. When Jesus was incarnated in the world, who was he? God dwelling with man. Okay? So the tabernacle in the wilderness represented the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrificial system pointed forward to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ because the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, is no remission. Now, therefore, by the deeds of the law, what does the scripture say? No flesh will be justified in God's sight. Now, what the Jews had done is basically what people do under the canopy of Christianity that don't understand the grace of God. They look at the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and they say, he was teaching us how to live. No, he was teaching us how we couldn't live. He was condemning the Jews with the law. And Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to whom? To everyone that believes. Now, many of the Jews received Christ as Savior, but the nation as a whole rejected him. know, and the nation as a whole wanted him crucified. And so that's why they wanted the Romans to put him to death. Now, the scripture says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It also says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So the curse that was upon Israel for failing to keep the law was placed on Jesus Christ so that he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness. So all that was promised that the Jews would have if they kept the law, they didn't keep it. So that inheritance was null and void, so to speak. But Christ, who is God, became a man by the virgin birth so that he could be a Jew under the law and fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. That's from the smallest mark in the Hebrew language. You know, it was fulfilled completely by him. So all of the blessings for keeping the law belong to Jesus Christ. And the scripture says of those of us who believe on him, we are heirs and joint, you know, that inheritance belongs to the Lord, but we're joint heirs or co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So if it belongs to him, it belongs to us, not by performance, but by the fact that he performed it in our stead. So when we look at the public ministry of our Lord then, he was teaching the Jews things from the law that the rabbis failed to teach. What they did was they took the law and modified it to give themselves a sense of keeping it. So it was just a big fake show. You know, it was for outward show. And so as a consequence of that, they felt that they were justified before God. But that wasn't the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to condemn. You know, God gave the law to the nation of Israel to show them God's standard that you can't meet. Okay? So then, because they couldn't meet it, what was given with it? The tabernacle, which represents Jesus Christ. God dwelling with man. And Christ then came and fulfilled every jot and tittle of law and all righteousness, but he also gave them the sacrificial system. So if you fail under the law, then make a sacrifice. But then he told the Jews, those sacrifices could never take away sin. Sounds like it's contradictory. But it was to point to the one sacrifice for sin forever that he would make. And interestingly, they demanded his death. You know, and the law, you know, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But Christ did them. He fulfilled it perfectly. So those blessings are his. And then he took the curse of the nation of Israel, as well as the curse of the whole world, upon himself, because the scripture says, cursed is everyone or anyone that hangs on a tree. Well, when he was impaled upon that tree, he was bearing the curse of a broken law. But in him was no sin at all. So he did it vicariously. He did it for the Jews, and he did it for us, so that God has the judicial right to declare anyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ to be just, to be righteous, to be holy. We're not actually righteous, we're not actually holy, we're not actually just, but it's imputed or charged to our account, just like our sins were charged to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as Jesus was teaching the Jews, the rabbis had a whole system of interpretations of the law. And when we read the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, we see how, well, let's go back there and look at it just for a little bit. Matthew chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes, those are the ones who transcribed scripture, and they had to, it was a continuous process. because it was done on parchment or it was done on skins. And with time and with usage, those manuscripts would fail. I don't have my old Bible with me, but the pages are so thin on it, it's almost impossible to use anymore, so I'm breaking in a new one. But the bottom line is, you know, the scribes would transcribe the scripture. Now, many people have said, well, how do you know? Because if you've ever played, what do they call it, telephone or something like that, you have a dozen people in a room at a party. And one person whispers in a person's ear, reads something that is written down. And he says it to the next person, and he says it to the next person. And it goes around the room, and when you get through, it's not even close to what it started out to be. But you see, that doesn't take an account of the fact that God is the author of the Scriptures, and all Scripture was given by inspiration of God, and holy men of old wrote as they were moved or borne along by the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't like the game telephone. It was God revealing directly His Word to some 40 different authors over a period of totally about 1,600 years. Yeah. And so when the world looks like that, at that, they say, oh, it's got to be full of errors. Well, when we get into our English Bible and we see translations of the Scriptures, yeah, we find all kinds of errors, translatory errors. But when we go to the originals, we see the truth of the Word of God. And that's why someone like Aaron or myself is told to do what? Study to show yourself approved, not to you, to God, rightly dividing the word of truth or laying it out for what it actually says, okay? And so, that's what we do. So when someone that hasn't been taught picks up a Bible and they read Matthew, they read Mark, they read Luke, and they see the public ministry of our Lord with the Jews, and they think, because of our Lord's public ministry and statements like this, well, let me read a little bit here from the 23rd chapter of Matthew before I go back to our 7th chapter. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to the disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now, the Pharisees was the most fundamental sect of the Jews, but they had all kinds of traditions that were false, and they thought they were holy before God by the lives that they lived, but they weren't. All the law could do for them or for anyone was condemn them, but they interpreted the law so that it wouldn't condemn them. Okay? And so that's why the law became useless in the hands of the Jews with their traditions. So all, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, now Jesus speaking to the people that were under the authority of their religious rulers, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works for what? They say and do not. Well, anybody that thinks they're justified before God by the life that he lives has to do a lot of saying and not doing, because the scripture is very clear. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified, not in man's sight, in God's sight. So as we go on, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. In other words, they preach to the audience, and you can say, you have to do this, you have to do that, you mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. But they themselves, they couldn't keep the law any better than the burden that they laid upon those that were under their authority. So, it was a say, a say so and do not kind of life. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. We see a great deal of that in the world today. People get up, they have, 30,000 people in the audience. And it's all about this marvelous life that you can live. And I've listened to, not very long, to Joel Osteen for a little bit, but any time I've ever heard him, I've never, ever heard him quote a single verse of Scripture. His whole ministry is about a feel-good thing, you know, making you, as it were, captains of your ship, you know, excelsior, onward and upward, you know. And that's basically what, it's a feel-good thing. And it's a very self-righteous thing. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts. Now, I happened to go to three different Bible colleges, and the last one I went to, they would have fellowship meetings. And this is completely contrary to the truth of the Word of God. And this was being done by, quote-unquote, fundamental Baptists. So they need some support for their fellowship and for their Bible college. So what they would do is one fellow would pop up, such and such a church of such and such a city pledges $1,000 for the support of the mission of the Bible college. Then somebody else would get up and say, well, we pledge $5,000. And then somebody else would get up, well, we pledge $10,000. And at the end of the day, they never fulfilled those pledges. You know. And those schools were supported by those that didn't go to the meeting that just sent an offering to them. You know. But, you know, that's the environment that so many people that enter the ministry are trained in. You know. And I was strong enough in the Lord and had studied enough before I ever started school. That, you know, for example, when I was going to the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, when I first got out of the Air Force, I didn't know where to go. And I'd been saved when I was home on leave. And we'd attended a couple of different churches in Spokane, Washington. And so I used to listen to their broadcasts on the radio, and it wasn't bad. So that was the only place. So, you know, I sent papers to them to get my high school transcript and all of that type of thing sent to them. So that when I got out of the Air Force, I made it back to California and had to start school almost the next day. Yeah. And then after a semester there, I told my wife, Joanne, I've got to get out of here. These people don't believe anything. Yeah. They're trying to satisfy every denomination under the canopy of Christianity. See? And if you wrote articles, you know, or you had to turn in a paper or something and you quoted scripture here and there to prove your position, then they'd argue with you, you know. And so I left that one. Then I went to one that was even, it was fundamentally more sound, but it was way over the top as far as self-righteousness was concerned. We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't spit. We don't chew. All this kind of nonsense. Yeah. Putting up an outward show. And you had to do this, you had to do that, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. Yeah. And I went there for two semesters. And I was working 40 hours a week. Because back in those days, this was in 1955, 56, somewhere along in that area. And, you know, the GI Bill basically paid after you'd completed the whole semester's work. So I worked 40 hours a week while I was going to Bible college, and I never carried less than 14 credit hours, you know. And for every hour in class, you're supposed to have 3 hours outside of class. So multiply 3 times 14, you know, that's a full week's work right there. And then working to support my family, you know. And when I was working at Douglas Aircraft, I worked the swing shift, got off at 1 o'clock in the morning, and had a 7 o'clock class in Greek. Now, those... Boy, my weight peeled down, and I wasn't very healthy. Really, when I graduated from the Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, I I weighed 125. My wife weighed 115. It was tough times. Then I went to a school that they, Baptist Bible College, lots of missionary Baptists there, and they believed that they only were the bride of Christ, missionary Baptists. Well, when you read the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation, if your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're part of the bride of Christ. And you read back in about the 19th chapter, if your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're cast into the lake of fire. So by their definition, there weren't any Old Testament saints that were going to be in the kingdom. They didn't say that, but that's what their doctrine taught. Because the bride of Christ, let me read a little bit of it to you in the 21st chapter of the Revelation. Then we'll get back to our text. We read about this, and then down about verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. And the New Jerusalem is called the Bride of Christ, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Christ will be the light of the New Jerusalem. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now if you go back to the great white throne judgment, and the nations are judged, and everyone whose name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So by the missionary Baptist definition of the bride of Christ, no Old Testament saints have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. They don't say that, but that's what they teach by implication. So these schools that I went to, the Lord told us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed. He told us that through the Apostle Paul. And so that's what we're to do. We're to study in the Word of God. And for the Jews, they had to see that what Jesus was talking about in this 23rd chapter of Matthew, he was showing all of the errors of the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians. They had all kinds of false doctrines. But they could go into the Bible and quote a verse from out of context here and a verse out of context there. And that's basically what people do. And you basically, if you don't teach the scriptures recognizing that God is the author and there cannot be a single lie in the scriptures, but then you read the scriptures and you see how, for example, the King James translators translated certain things. And we've got a group of Baptists today that say God preserved his word in the King James Bible. Now, I've always used the King James Bible, but I've studied enough to know I can take you over in the First John and then into Titus and show you direct contradictions the way it's translated. But when you get into the Greek text, you find that there's no contradiction at all. They just chose the wrong word for a particular portion of scripture. That's why we're told, study to show ourselves approved unto God. Now, part of rightly dividing the word of God is that you have to know who's speaking and to whom. That's why I emphasize that Christ ministered to Jews under the law. The Jews had taken the law and basically rewritten it to give themselves a sense of keeping it. But the scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. So no Jew ever kept the law. The only Jew who did was Jesus Christ, and he's God. Okay. He's the only one that could, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So when Jesus was teaching the Jews then, and he's teaching them in the light that they are under the law, the things he says to them will condemn them. And if you are honest with yourself, the things he says to the Jews under law, if you apply it to yourself, it'll condemn you too. You know, because that's what the law was designed to do, so that they would turn to the other thing that was given with the law. And that was the pattern of the tabernacle. Make me a tabernacle that I may dwell with you. Who is Christ? He's God dwelling with man. So the tabernacle represented the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sacrificial system, though the animals could never take away sin, they were offered pointing forward to the one sacrifice for sin that Christ would make. See? So you can read a lot of confusing things in the Bible if you don't know how to put it together properly. See? And that's what, you know, most people get in, and you see it all the time. In a Western, you got some crazy old fool, you know, and he wants to judge everybody under the sun because he's righteous and everybody else isn't, you know. And so the, you know, Hollywood uses that to mock, you know, much that goes on under the canopy of Christianity, you know. And it really needs to be mocked. But biblical Christianity can't be mocked. Because biblical Christianity, the law condemned the Jews. We're not under the law. But if we measure ourselves by the law, it will condemn us too. But then Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to whom? To everyone that believeth. So what was given with the law in the Old Testament? The pattern of the tabernacle. And what is it? Make me a dwelling place that I may dwell with you. Well, God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hand, but it represented the person and work of Jesus Christ. And when the Jews failed under the law, they had to make a bloody sacrifice. That sacrifice represented the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So that when you put it all together, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. And then Paul tells us over in Galatians, for by grace are you saved through faith. And the faith that you exercise is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when God gives us the faith to believe, and he did it for me when I was 21 years old, home on leave, mom said, I'm going to church tomorrow. Would you like to go? I went, and I never dreamed that day the Spirit of God would quicken the Word of God to my heart, and I'd believe and be saved. You know? And then, you know, try to find some place to go. You know, it's not easy. And you go where you can find as much truth as possible, but you keep studying and you know the difference. You know. So then in this 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is not teaching the Jews how to live. He's teaching them how they can't live. And they were constantly judging one another, because if I can judge you, I can justify myself. And that's necessary. You know, it's a whole lot of self-righteousness. Okay, judge not, that you be not judged. Back in the 7th chapter of Matthew now. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. So when you're pointing the finger at somebody else, you know, I like to do it like this. You know, when we point one finger, we like a gun. Well, I've got three pointing at me and one pointing at God. Yeah. Because we're finding fault with one person, and that fault reflects upon me, and then I'm blaming God. Because I've got a finger pointing at him, too. Yeah. And the Scripture puts it all together right. God became a man through the virgin birth. So that as a Jew, under the law, he could fulfill the law because he didn't have a sin nature. We're all born with a sin nature. God is made of one blood, all of the families of the earth. So as in Adam, all die. We're condemned before we ever breathe a breath. Yeah. But God is a merciful God. So children are under the passive justification of God until they reach the age of accountability. Yeah. So babies, when they die, don't go to hell. Babies go into the presence of God. Okay. But when we get to a certain age, and with the Jews, it was 19. You know, because everyone that was 20 years old and older died in the wilderness. And then those that were 19 and under, they grew up and they were just as unbelieving as their parents after 40 years in the wilderness. Okay. So we have to understand who's speaking and to whom. So Jesus is speaking to Jews under the law who are justifying themselves by their interpretation of the law, and the way they interpreted the law, it gave them the sense of keeping it when they couldn't keep it. Okay? They couldn't keep it, we can't keep it. So why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? He's got a little speck of dust in his eye, and you want to get it out for him. But considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye. So you're trying to take just a little speck of dirt that, you know, in the morning we used to talk about the Sandman came. Because during the night, the dust that gets on your eyes during the day washes to the corner and you wipe the sand out in the morning. Yeah. So we had the whole myth about the Sandman. Yeah. But, you know, you can see a speck of dirt in the corner of a person's eye. But then Jesus said, but you guys that are trying to get that speck out have got a 2x4 in your eye. Yeah. A beam. Yeah. So it was a whole lot of pointing the finger at somebody else in order to justify themselves. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye. You hypocrite. Now, when we say hypocrite, we've added the definition to hypocrite that's much different than the Greek word hypokrites. Hypokrites is transliterated into the word hypocrite, and hypokrites was an actor on a stage. Okay? A pretender. He's playing a role. So that's what Jesus said to these Jews. You're just playing a role. You know, you're playing a role that makes you feel like you're justified before God. Okay? Now, hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. And Jesus actually referred to the Gentiles as dogs. You know, the Gentile nations of the world were, for the most part, they were the nations were all idol worshippers, say, and false religions. And the Jews at least had the truth, but they corrupted the truth so they couldn't see the truth. And so our Lord's ministry to them was to show them the truth. The truth was designed to condemn you, so that the sacrificial system was designed to make a payment for your sin, but those animals could never take away sin, so they pointed forward to the one sacrifice for sin forever that Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary. And with that sacrifice, he paid for the sins of the whole world, all the way back to Adam and everybody that hadn't even been born yet. He paid for everyone's sin, but everyone's sins are not under the blood. That takes an act of faith. At a point in time when you hear the word of God preached and God quickens it, as he did with me on January 14th, 1954, he quickened the word of God to my heart, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've talked about the circumstances. Immediately we were shipped out to Alaska when I got back, and we were on a temporary duty, so we got 22 B-36s in the air because General Curtis LeMay said that SAC could be anywhere in the world in 24 hours and ready to fight. Yeah. And so we did two different missions, one in September, another one in January, one when the mosquitoes, you know, the big ones would carry you over to let the little ones eat you up. Yeah, those no-see-ums, that's what they call them in Alaska. They would get you, and it would leave a welt about the size of a silver dollar. Yeah, they were awful. Yeah, But so we were up there at that point in the year, and then we were there when it was 55 below zero. Yeah. Funny thing about when it warm up to 30 below zero during the daytime, you could actually tell the difference. But we had very good equipment, very good foul weather gear, and I was never cold. Never had a cold foot in Alaska. They gave us bunny boots. They had cork soles that were about an inch thick, and then they were made out of white felt, so they would breathe. Your feet wouldn't sweat, and then you'd put, have varying sizes, wool socks on, about six pairs, and then now your foot into the boot, but none of them were tight, so all of it would breeze, and you didn't ever take those boots inside. When you got to the barracks, you'd brush all the snow off of them, leave them outside, and go inside. Because if you took them inside, if there was still any snow on them, they'd get wet, and their insulating quality would be gone. Okay. Quit telling more stories, Dale, and get back to the Word of God. So, give not that which is holy unto the dogs or the Gentiles, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. You know, Jews couldn't eat swine. So this is another reference to the Gentiles. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. So the sacrificial system was designed so that the Jews would ask for what? Save, Lord, save me. I can't keep this. And if you cried that prayer, God will always answer it. In the positive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Jesus speaks in a later portion, he stands at the door and knocks. At the door, at our heart's door. And so that we can invite him in. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread? And the Jews claimed to be the children of God. And by judicial decree they were, but most of the Jews didn't believe. Most of the Jews were caught up in trying to establish their own righteousness. So he says, your father wants to give you good gifts. And he's referring to his father. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So, really, the law was designed to bring the Jews to the place of frustration so that they would cry out, Lord, save me. And therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, no one could keep the law. It demanded perfection. See? So Jesus, again, is condemning them by this statement. See? It's showing the Jews, it's showing the religious of the world, no matter how holy you think you are, unless you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, seeing that you're a sinner and that he paid for your sins with his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, because without the shedding of blood is no remission or no payment. See? So we can't satisfy God by the lives that we live. We have to have an atonement or a covering made to blot out our sins. Now, the Jews had a holiday at the end of the year called the Day of Atonement. And on that day, the priest was to select two goats. And he was cast lots for them, and one would be a scapegoat, and the other would be a slain goat. And so the scapegoat, they would confess the sins of the nation of Israel upon the head of that goat, and one of the priests would take that goat into the wilderness to bear him away outside the camp so he couldn't find his way back. And that speaks of Christ as our sin bearer, who bears our sins away outside the camp to never be remembered against us anymore. The other priest, or the other goat, high priest would put his hands up on the head of it, confess the sins of the nation of Israel upon the head of that goat. Now this is portraying the sacrifice of Christ in the shadows and types of the Old Testament. So when he would do that, then he would take and cut the throat of that goat, catch his blood in the basin with scarlet wool and hyssop. He would enter into the holiest of holies, and after first making a sacrifice for his own sins, because the priests were not sinless. Yeah. Now when Christ entered the holiest of holies to make the one sacrifice for sin forever, not on the earth but in heaven, at the tabernacle that Moses was told, "See, saith he, that you make it exactly according to the pattern showed you in the mount." Okay. So then Christ took his blood into heaven. It's on the mercy seat there. And when the devil accuses us, and he accuses us night and day, because all of us believers, we still sin. Yeah. And the devil says, "See there what he did?" And God looks at the blood on the mercy seat, and it blots out everything that was in the box, our sins, and their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. So God just simply says, "Case dismissed." Yeah. The devil's going to accuse us, and he's going to have wherever he can accuse us. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay. Now, people would say, "Oh, that means you can do anything you want." No, my God, my Father has a nice switch, you know. Over in the book of Hebrews, it says, "If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." So if you think you can do as you please as a Christian, the Lord lets you get away with quite a little bit, but it's under the blood. Yeah. But then, if you wander off, and that sort of thing, the good shepherd went looking for the lost sheep. He left the 99 in the fold to go find the one that had strayed. So as believers, we can stray. And as a believer, I've strayed. I knew I was called in the ministry. Our first church, we had trouble caused by a fellow that came up from California, told a bunch of lies, and I spent 6 months trying to hold that congregation together, and finally, it wasn't happening. And then, rather than having services with my children, I got discouraged and quit. And whom the Lord loves, he chastens. I had built a 110-foot tower in a snowstorm. And we were starting on the second tower, and I was up on the 30-foot section of tower. And at that point in time, it's only being supported by a half-inch bolt until I get the guy lines on it. So you climb it very carefully. And I'd put on the first guy line and was bringing up the second one, when my boss's son-in-law, who had never done this type of work, got the idea it was going to tighten that first guy line. Well, he's got about a 100-foot piece of cable pulling on a section of tower 30 feet in the air. That's a pretty good lever against a half-inch bolt. And so it broke it, and I looked for, got my safety belt off, looked for the roof of the building. I can cut the distance down if I jump for it. And I jumped and I missed and had a radio in a chest pack. In those days, a handheld radio was like a brick. And it hit the side of the turn of the building and flipped me, and I landed on my head in a mud hole. Yeah. And I was okay because I landed on my head. But the point is, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He called me into the ministry. I wasn't preaching. And he let me run for quite a while before he pulled the choke chain. And you know what? The first thought that came to me as I was laying there on the ground, and I was the only one on the top of that mountain with any first aid training. And they all wanted to get me up immediately. Yeah. I said, leave me alone until I check myself out. But the first thought that came to my mind was, Lord, why didn't you kill me? Because I knew I'd been wondering. Yeah. And I took that spanking as a love swat. And whom the Lord loves, he chastens. We can do a lot of stuff. But the bottom line is, the best place for us to be, for me, a man in the ministry now some 67 years, or something like that, close to it, from the time I was ordained. And the point is, there's no greater joy than to preach the truth of the Word of God. And there's no greater joy than to see someone who is a sinner accept the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And not being in the pulpit, I wasn't doing what God had called me to do. So my life was worthless for that period of time that I strayed. And I look at it with great thanksgiving, because it manifested to me, hey, you knothead, I love you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we thank you for the fact that you love the Jews. They wanted to be under the law. You allowed them to be under the law so that they could see what they were really like. But they corrupted the law to give themselves a sense of self-righteousness. And as a consequence, they were ultimately scattered amongst the nations of the world. But because you love them, you'll bring them back into their own land. And they're there now. And they will continue to be there till the day that the Lord comes. And they look on him whom they pierced and believe and are saved. And we just praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word, that you're in the business of saving sinners by grace. And we praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.